Please be seated. You probably haven't noticed this before, but 99% of the time when I get up here to preach a sermon, I will preach on the gospel text that's assigned for that particular day. Jesus' words and Jesus' stories are just the important part for me. But I do look at all the readings for the day at the beginning of the week, and sometimes something will catch my eye that I just can't get past. Maybe that's God's way of telling me what I'm supposed to preach about. I don't know. But such was the case when I looked at Paul's letter to the Romans, when I couldn't get past that very first line. Hear it again. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Here's another translation. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And still one more translation. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. Have you ever considered love in that kind of way? The idea that love is not merely something you give or even something you feel, but instead, it's something you owe. It's something we owe not only to our neighbors, but something we owe to God in order, as Paul says, to fulfill the law, whatever that means. This concept of owing love is something that just wouldn't leave my thoughts this weekend, because I wonder how many of us look at love in such a way. There's an old story of a Roman nobleman who died, leaving behind enormous debts which he had successfully concealed during his lifetime. And when his estate was put up for auction, Caesar Augustus instructed his agent to buy the man's pillow. When some expressed surprise at such an order, Caesar explained, "That pillow must be particularly conducive to sleep. If its late owner, in spite of all his debts, could actually sleep on it." You know, I'd venture to say that everybody in this room takes debt seriously. We realize it's for the most part a necessity, but we watch it and we monitor it so that it doesn't get out of control. And we pay back our debts as faithfully and as timely as we possibly can. And every single one of us knows that paying off debts is hard work. Sometimes it takes a lot of discipline. If you really want that $5 latte at Starbucks, but you're trying to pay off your credit card debt, you just say no. Or maybe it's a computer gadget or a smartphone or a vacation home. Whatever it is, you really can't afford it, so you wait. And everyone in this room knows that it's not easy to get out of debt, because it requires denying yourself in order to reach a goal. That's how most of us are when it comes to money and finances. But what if we were just as diligent and disciplined when it comes to this debt of love? I'll contend that's even harder, because it means that we have to take the focus off of ourselves sometimes and put it on others and their needs, in order to work at this debt of love that we owe. What could owing love look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. I think it means loving, even when you don't want to. When Jesus gave us a new commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, he put absolutely no qualifications on that command, nor did he call it the new suggestion, although we often treat it as such. Nor did he say it would be easy. We're talking about loving people. People with different backgrounds from our own. People of different races, different social economic standing, different opinions, different values, different religious views, different personalities, different political philosophies, different lifestyles. And that sounds to me like it includes just about anybody who God brings into our lives and along our path. God knows that's not easy. It may, in fact, be impossible for mere humans. What could it look like if we treated love as a debt? Well, Depending on whether you look at this as a commandment or a suggestion, I would contend that we'd be more apt to give our neighbor the benefit of the doubt. There's no question that a person will love himself, and it's also certain that he will do so in spite of the fact that the self we love has many, many faults and flaws. And the great commandment and Paul's exhortations ask us to extend that same grace to other faulty folks that we extend to ourselves. Folks, the Christian life is not about rules and regulations. Instead, it's about trying. Trying as imperfectly as we might to stop assigning percentages of blame and guilt to other people and instead spend the same amount of time and effort toward making payments on our continuing debt of love. What could that really look like? Well, to me, it looks like the check that we sent to Texas this week for over $5,000 to a friend of mine who will be using it to help those people in places who might be falling through the cracks while recovering from Hurricane Harvey, and God only knows what we might need to do in the coming week for people in our own state. What could treating love as a debt really mean? Well, it could mean waking up one day and turning on the news and hearing, wars are over, poverty is history, the planet's fine, everything's cool, have a nice day. And I know that's idealistic and I know that's naive. But just think of how irresistible our faith would be if we as followers of Christ truly loved in that kind of way. Because such an ability to love is the radical force that Jesus Christ has turned loose in this world. And it has the power to change everything. But it has to start somewhere. It has to start with us. Me, you, individuals. And sometimes that might mean going first. Being the first to say, I'm sorry. Being the first to forgive. Being the first to reach out. Because ours is a debt we owe and cannot pay out of the meager store of love that we have stored up, but can only be paid out of the limitless overflow of God's love towards you and in you. God love you. Amen.